Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
That was the voice of Nick Wright. Friendo Ted, is that what he is?
That's my boy, yes. Nick and I worked for a couple of years there down in Houston.
You like him?
I'm a big fan of Nick.
Surprisingly, even though he's a Chiefs guy and supposedly a Pats hater, I'm a fan too.
Yeah. Yeah,
me
yeah.
Three.
He's a big reason I got in the radio in Houston. He was pushing my boss down there to hire me.
Oh.
So yes, I'm a big fan of Nick Rice.
Now I know why you like him. It's biased.
I'll put it out there. It's pretty simple. You support me, I'm going to support you.
Love it. Love it. Well, I'm supporting you, Ted, in everything you
Thanks,
do
Bubba.
These days. That was Nick Wright talking about the signing of Stephon Diggs for the Patriots. I do think some of us saw that $26 million guaranteed and were like, oh, that's more than I thought he was going to get, because it felt like he didn't have a lot of options. That's the other thing. Felt like a little desperation marriage was coming here.
Yeah.
But that's not a desperate move by him. I'll take $26 million guaranteed, especially if it's a one-year deal.
A lot of people thought it'd just be a one-year prove-it kind of thing.
I thought it would be like
15 with
yes,
some incentives.
Yes, absolutely. This is some big boy money.
Maybe Fitzy, I don't know, that he comes in, he gets looked at. And they say, you know what, this knee does look pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you think he's not going to be there till the middle of the season, golly, then the money is like kind of a head scratcher. But if you think he might be ready to start the season, the first game, then you know what? This is a team that has to overpay, clearly. So, again, they had plenty of money to spend. So I don't, people are just going to look at the money and go, it does sound outrageous. But when you consider the fact that the wide receiver room is probably the worst in the NFL, and the Patriots had as much money to spend, I don't care about the money. Just get the player in here, and that's all I care about, Fitzy.
Ted, yesterday we played, same here, my man, and he's going to get to work doing some of those off-field intangible things. By the way, great line from Tom Curran when I asked him if that would be iron sharpening iron with him coming in and being a mentor in the receiver room. You mean iron sharpening talc? Excellent. That was well played. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so it's an overpay. Big deal. Yeah, you had to overpay all the way through. We were all surprised that the money was that big, but at the end of the day, like, it's not ours. You had to go that far in the first place anyway. So that really shouldn't be an issue as far as how people judge him. And I would bet yesterday on the show, Ted, we played a little game called Over Under, where we guessed on the overs and unders for a lot of different numbers on the Red Sox this upcoming season. I'd love to play an over under on when we think Steph Diggs debuts for the season.
No clue.
Well, I mean, Adam Schefter is saying week one.
Week one.
So barring a setback, I'm going to say, Adam Schefter, I tell you one thing. We can debate a lot of things. He doesn't like to be wrong. He doesn't like to look bad. He does not want people to say, well, you said this. So barring an injury or a setback or a pulled hammy or something, I think they're probably targeting week one. Now, what level he's at? I've brought up the example, Fitzy.
The Welker.
I watched the Welker season where he was out there, but he was not Wes Welker.
Right.
He was on the field, and he talked about it. I think he began the year with a brace, and like it took a while. And while he finished with what for normal people would be good numbers, like 80 catches for him, that was like 40 less than he was used to catching. He was like a 120 catch guy.
Oh, he was easily his least productive Patriots season. Yeah.
So I'm guessing Stephon Diggs is on the field, and then I'm guessing Fitzy, you and I, on the Six Rings post-game show, the first one of the year in September, will be like, yeah, he's at X percent, whether that's 80, 85, 90, and we're saying he doesn't. And then we're hoping that it's because of the knee and not because of, well, he's a 31-year-old wide receiver whose best days might be behind him.
Yeah, my guess is
32.
Because it's the knee, right? I mean, I think
he keeps himself
in great shape. So he'd be, if he started at the beginning of the season, that's 10 months from the time of his injury. Adrian Peterson, we talked about this. He tore his ACL. He was back in 7 or 8 months, which was...
Yeah, and he was running like a horse through a brick wall all over again.
I couldn't believe it. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen. So it's not like it can't be done. It's just rare that someone gets back as fast as what some are predicting. But, him... Right now, the receiving core is gone from probably the worst to maybe, they're probably, maybe the 27th, 26th best receiving core right now. And if you get the guy I wanted them to get, and that's Travis Hunter at 4, all of a sudden you got maybe a top 15, top 12 wide receiver group right there if Travis Hunter is somebody they can get. And so if you're upset with this, I don't know how you can be, because to me, the guy has produced, even last year before he got hurt, still being the number two receiver. If you want to say Nico Collins is an animal, he's a beast, and still had a productive season, even in Houston with Nico Collins as the one.
So I'm glad you brought up Travis Hunter and the draft and the ramifications of this signing for the draft. We talked about it a little bit with Tommy Curran. This is opening the door, our guy Mike Giardi. So today, LSU's pro day, and Will Campbell had his arms measured. I know you are very, very focused on his arm length, and they grew to 33 inches, baby.
What's he doing, man?
Oh, well, because they definitely don't juice the guns at the home games.
He's been hanging in some closet somewhere for months and months.
Oh, my God. Somebody spotted him the half inch that everybody has been clamoring about. I saw all the replies to Field Yates' tweet saying, Will Campbell at his LSU Pro Day came in at 33 inches. I think Andrew Callahan's quote tweet was like, all over the United States, men are looking for the LSU measurement guy to give them extra length.
Oh, we all round up a little bit, but
I don't get it.
Mike Giardi retweeted something about Will Campbell's arm length, and he said, I'm paraphrasing, I'm starting to think this is the pick or something. And Mike Giardi doesn't just throw crap out there. No. Or I'm getting ready for this to be the guy at 4, may have been what he said. And I've been sort of on this all along, although I have fallen a little bit for Kelvin Banks. And I actually think if you're swinging for a more prototypical left tackle, a trade down, which sounds like it's going to be hard if you read The Athletic, but a trade down to take Kelvin Banks might be swinging for the left tackle fences.
Oh, I would love that. I don't think anybody's going to. I just don't feel like anybody's going to trade unless Shador's not taken by the fourth pick. Maybe somebody wants to come up and get Shador at 4.
Or Shador just keeps falling and falling and falling. Maybe. And then it's a game of chicken with all those teams. How far do we think he'll fall? How can we take him? Because remember, if he falls, then he gets into the world of your guys, the Gentes and the Warrens Mason Graham, Will Johnson.
How great. Tyler Warren at 7 if the Pats could trade back a few spots and get a tackle later, Ted.
I'd be all that would be my might be my number one choice would be that scenario you just described. If they were to sign, I know he's kind of washed, but he was a multi all pro, Tyron Smith.
Yeah,
get him in the building yesterday, Ted.
I would if you signed Tyron Smith before the draft, I would be, I would feel so much better.
Morgan Moses, Tyron Smith.
Are you kidding me?
Between them, they play 14 games.
Oh, they walk off the bus. Like,
oh, yeah.
They're the baddest dudes on the field.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you only need your rookie to play in a rotational role. You don't put for example, if you take Tyler Warren, then take a tackle in the second round, then the expectations aren't you need to start right out of camp.
I love that idea, Dan.
You know the coaches that say extend the game? In any sport, that their theory is to extend the game. They make decisions late in games to extend the game, give ourselves a chance. If you do something like that, you extend the decision on other tackles. You don't have to come up with a tackle for week one or week two. It gives you more time to work those guys out. If you drafted one, more time for him to get up to speed and hell, I know we're all cynical. I'm as cynical as anybody. So I would very much take the under on Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith playing like a whole season.
Right.
But there's no rule that says they're going to get hurt. Maybe this is the one year where, just aberrationally it comes together and you get great job by the training staff, the strength staff, whatever, and they keep them on the field somehow, and then you delay the decision to next year and you develop guys behind the scenes.
Yeah, Ted, the other day I was opining for the Patriots to go spend that $10 million, bring in Tyron Smith, and all you're asking for is just hit the mark that you did last year. If not, not if, when the Patriots take anybody from the kid at Oregon, Ozzie Trapio, Will Campbell, Membu, Ursary, who I like a lot, they take one of those guys, you're now buying at least half a season of veteran mentorship, plus someone going out there and playing a, you know, NFL grade or plus level tackle. Like Tyron Smith in those 10 games last year was good to very good at times. That's all you need. Just give me a half to two thirds of a season until the other guy is ready and this team evolves. Like that's the smart thing to do.
I like that idea. It just takes a little bit of pressure off you.
And I would have poo-pooed it, but after the Diggs signing, I'm not sure I'm poo-pooing anything. I'm not sure I'm going to poo-poo them going to get Tyron Smith and giving him the proper amount of money that lures him here. Or maybe he looks at Diggs and goes, huh, well, they checked off wide receiver. That young quarterback people seem to be talking about. Maybe it's not the crap hole organization and team that I think it is. And you got Fitzy thinking 9 wins. And maybe that changes. We had a texter earlier that was like, could this be the move, the Diggs signing, that kind of changes the perception? Well, Diggs went there. Diggs took the money. Do others look at that and say,
Milton Williams went there.
Yeah.
Do you guys see what the win total is for the Patriots in Vegas?
No, what do you got?
What is the updated Vegas line?
The updated Vegas line is 7.5.
It's up to 7.5?
That's a solid line.
Talk to me.
That's a good line right there.
That's an easy pound the over for you, Fitzy. You got him with 9 wins.
I'm going over.
Yeah, I told you, 9's on the table. 10 is the dream.
I think I'd take the under. I think 7-10 can be a fine season for this football team.
It could be.
You said 7.5, right?
I'm greedy, though. Yeah, 7.5.
Yeah, I think I would take the under there. I'd like to be wrong and see more wins. The one thing I did say, Ted, and you weren't around for this, infamously, last year, starting around late May, early June, after I went to a practice down at Gillette, and it was horrific. They couldn't complete passes versus air. I had never seen it. The ball was hitting the ground versus air. I said, 0-17 is in play for this team. This is the worst football team I've ever seen. 0 wins is not in play this year. Definitely I guarantee not. You they're winning games this year. With Mike Vrabel and Drake May and this newly reinvigorated roster, the schedule. Yeah. This team is going to roll out of bed and win 5 games? And then steal a couple. No, I said roll out of bed. Like that is, I can't see them.
An easy 5 and they'll grind it to 7.
Yes.
Andy, you saying like 7-10 is a fine season for them. That's the equivalent of like, listen, did you get any girls' numbers? No, I got turned down 6 times at the bar, but guess what? 4 of them told me I was really attractive.
Yeah. My mom would like you.
What the hell does that? That doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, but it is. It's a step in the right direction. 617-779-7937. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, our guy Scal, he's on the West Coast. He's fired up about Tatum's ankle injury. Who knows? Maybe he beat up on somebody on a court somewhere out west.
Some of the news from Tatum is pretty good right now.
Yeah, it's definitely uptick, and he was on a podcast with the Kelce brothers, which is a very entertaining listen. Maybe we'll ask Scal about that. Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, up next. But first, Dan Ball.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Give me your trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson. And joining us on the phones now is Brian Scalabrini, NBC Sports Boston. Scal is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when the drains don't flow. And by FindMassMoney.gov. Scal, how we doing out west this week?
Well, I'm not out west.
Oh.
Because Eddie's doing those games. Yeah, so I'll head out to do San Antonio and Memphis.
Oh, okay. Those are past my bedtime. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like the
late games. I know. It's pretty late. Past my bedtime, too.
So I guess the story of the week is obviously Jason Tatum's ankle. Sabonis kind of undercuts him, gets that landing space flagrant foul.
Bush.
What were your thoughts on that? Is that a dirty play? Is it just unfortunate because your guy gets hurt? How do you look at that whole development?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is happens all the time to Jason Tatum because he's big in step backs and he's got a high release. So if you're going to challenge his shot, you got to get into his airspace. So it's the NBA's job to protect Tatum, and they haven't called that flagrant, and he's been getting undercut all year. I don't look at it as a dirty play. Like, guys are trying to block shots. Like, it's just what it is. The NBA put that in place so superstar players wouldn't miss, you know, playoff games, whatever. You can go all the way back. You know, the San Antonio Spurs are busting up the Golden State Warriors with Kawhi Leonard. He gets hurt, and that series was never the same. So you don't want to see star players missing. So I hope moving forward the NBA looks at this and says, hey, anytime anybody gets anywhere close to Jason Tatum, you call the foul, you go to the monitor, and you find out if it's a flagrant.
Just Jason Tatum or anybody else?
Well, I mean, it does happen. It's like Kevin Durant's in the same category. There's certain players that that can shoot, you know, with off the dribble with a step back. And when you step back and you're trying to get back to their airspace, the end result is that play. And for whatever reason, like, you're supposed to protect the guy, and they didn't. I think everybody, we don't want to see the playoffs decided by a contested three where a guy gets his ankle sprained and they're out.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. And, you know, at this point now, Scal, for me, like, it's bubble wrap. I know he's questionable for tonight. Just bubble wrap him until the playoffs. I know you got to try to stretch him out as well, but you can't afford to make that injury any worse. I kind of wanted to get a feel. What do you think about the new owner? Are you a big Bill Chisholm guy?
I don't remember having many interactions with him so far. You know, like the team, all that stuff happened, and the team has been on the road. I haven't had a home game yet, so I'm sure I'll be at events and I'll see him and all that stuff. But you know, what I do like is all the messaging. The messaging, it's about winning nowadays. And it's so easy to complain about salaries and aprons and taxes or anything like that. And it's hard to, you know, buy a team, have success, have all these great players, and say, like, the NBA has made it not prohibitive to go out there and try to win. And I'm happy that he's saying all the right things, because we have a really special group, and I think that they have a chance to stack up another championship, maybe another one after that. But it all comes down to the owner and that owner deciding, you know, to pay the salaries and go into the tax. And that's not an easy thing to do. You're doing the right thing by your fan base. You're doing the right thing by your organization, but you're getting penalized big time by the NBA.
Scal, I was listening to my old friend Nick Wright on FS1 earlier today, talking about, you know, he's hearing things, maybe KD to Boston, you know, Jaylen Brown maybe getting moved, and that KD could be an option for Boston. And it just struck me as, you know, there was a few years ago where Kyrie and KD were on the doing a presser and not saying the best things about Boston. And you kind of just look at where the franchise is, winning last year, and then it just feels like a healthy franchise right now. Do you feel that maybe Boston is looked at differently now, that maybe this is a destination, this team, the Celtics?
I don't know about that yet, because we haven't had cap space in a while the way that Brad has done it. Like, the only thing I could say is, not just Celtics, you know, I don't know how it was at the Patriots or anything like that, but it seems like people want to be here. And, you know, like, they treat athletes like rock stars, and you have a good life during the time you're here. You have a good post-career life. So I think people do look at Boston as a cool place to play. The fan base, I know a lot of times you'll see visitors say, man, is it like this every single night? And the answer is yes. It doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday and you're playing whoever, like, the crowd's going to show up. So I think a lot of people like that. I mean, if you watch League Pass, there's some dreaded places that people care. They're just there to be entertained. They're not passionate. So I do think that people want to come and play in Boston, because you could talk to anybody that has played here, and I would say 95 to 98% of the people have really enjoyed, you know, being a Boston sports figure.
Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Scal, we have a little troll of a texter who likes to get all over JB, and got all over him the other night for 9 points and not a great game, even when Tatum goes down. And I'm just wondering, JB probably hasn't had his best season. You know, there's been the knee issue, and there's been some ups and downs, a few ugly nights. But just, where do you think he's at over the course of this season heading toward the postseason?
I don't really know. When you get injured, especially a guy as athletic as him, I think it could take away from, you know, your explosiveness. But I don't know. I gotta be honest with you. Some nights you see him play when Jason Tatum's out of the game, and he looks like a featured guy that can create, and he can run pick and roll, and he has that mid-range shot, but he also can move the ball. And other nights when he's out there, it's like, you know, you want him to be that Jaylen Brown that we saw last year in the conference finals and in the NBA finals that was super aggressive. And then we watched him play the Dallas game. It's one of the best games he's played. Like, he locked up Luka. He dominated that game. So I don't really know. Like, I don't know what is going through the head of Jaylen Brown and what motivates him. You know, is it a weird season because he already has a bunch of accomplishments? Like, he's already been an all-NBA player. He's already have a conference finals and finals MVP. Is he just waiting for the playoffs? I have really no idea what that is, but I know what his ceiling is. And his ceiling is, he was one of our most dominant players last year. So I just only assume that when the playoffs roll around, that he'll flip that switch again. And he dominates the game in three areas. Defensively, he loves to guard those bigger guards, which is good because it takes pressure off of Drew Holiday. Derek White is more of our quick guard defender. And then the other one is his ability to play off 2 feet. And when you can do that and get to the paint with all the shooting, it really puts a ton of pressure, you know, on the coaches. And the third one is, when he's locked in, his playmaking is as good as it could be, like as good as he was last year when in the NBA Finals he had he had 9 assists or 7 assists or something like that. So if that Jaylen Brown shows up through the NBA Finals, NBA playoffs, that Jaylen Brown is going to be just fine.
Hey, Escal, I saw this piece that Caleb Burton over at NBC Sports Boston did with Derek White this week where he talked about kind of getting into a bit of a depression, like a funk midseason personally, and was losing his love of the game and had to almost learn to re-love it and rediscover his passion for playing basketball again this season, which I guess can kind of explain why he, like the team and so many other aspects, experienced a midseason swoon. Were you familiar with that, or did you just learn of that recently as well?
Yeah, I knew he was like wasn't playing well, but you know, when you're like, I'd say this, star players who have been stars for a long time, I think that those guys handle the Olympics really well. And even, you know, even then it could be tough. Like, you can have a drop off a little bit, but you know, like Derek White and Holiday, like the off season is important for those guys to be operating on a super high level, to be their bodies to be locked in. It's just, what I mean by that is, like, a star can carry an injury and still be really good. But if you're nursing a hand or a foot or a hip or a back or whatever, and you're a role player, your margin for error goes down. So a lot of times, I don't know if he would have said this, but the only time as a player I felt down and out is when I was hurt, like nursing something, right? Like my back, or I just couldn't play the way I wanted to because I have so little room for error. I have to be feeling like $1 million and to go out there and my back and everything great for me to play great. But, you know, for a guy like Derek White going to the Olympics and everything that he's done, I wonder if it was like just a lot when you add in an NBA Finals, then you go to the Olympics, and now you're back. It could just have been too much basketball. And I think that kind of is typical for guys who are sort of role players. If you go back when the Bucks won the championship, Chris Middleton has never been the same since that time. And I kind of blame it on the Olympics. He just... I've been nursing an injury, and I wonder if he regrets going to the Olympics.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, he seems to be, though, have figured it out. He's playing like the Derek White of old. But I'm just, real quick, just your thoughts on the L.A. Lakers. I mean, the Luka Doncic trade, people wondered what the heck Dallas was thinking, but it showed, obviously, when he got there, the Lakers got all the way up to the 2 seed in the West. But I don't know. They've lost the last 3 games that they've played. I mean, in last game, LeBron was the worst at -17, and then the game before that against Chicago, he was the worst plus minus at -24. Have you seen the Lakers?
Yep.
You know, recently, you got any thoughts on maybe what's going on there in L.A.?
Yeah. So when they made that trade, if anybody that's a basketball head would have said, "How is this team going to guard?" and they went to the number one defensive team in the NBA, and they were doing that for about, I think it was 11 weeks or maybe it was maybe 8 weeks, right around there. Like, they were dominant. And now they don't guard anybody. So I'm assuming, like they're not as bad as what we're seeing right now, and they probably weren't as good defensively as what we were seeing back then. They're somewhere in the middle. So they've had some teams where they're playing teams that shoot the 3 well, and they're not guarding the 3 well. But then they're... other nights when they play like Nikola Jokic, they have this elaborate game plan that works. So I just think it's the season. I don't think they want to be the 3rd seed. I think they're really happy 4 or 5 playing Memphis Grizzlies in the first round. And I think they're kind of conserving and focusing more on, you know, the postseason. But I was shocked that they were that good defensively. And now I'm shocked that they're this bad defensively. I actually think they're somewhere in the middle of that.
All right, Scal, appreciate you joining us today. We'll catch up with you next week. All right.
All right, sounds good.
See you, man.
Let's go.
Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. And speaking of the Celtics, I listened to a podcast on the way in that everybody, one of the biggest in the world, I guess now, the New Heights podcast, the Kelce brothers, Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce.
It wasn't your Bible podcast?
Okay. It was not. That's on the way home.
Gotcha.
Snarky McSnark Snark.
To atone for your sins on today's
show. You're going to hell, and I'm going right to heaven, thanks to one podcast. Anyway.
Sure.
Jason Tatum was their guest. Today's episode, they had a nice chat with Jason Tatum that I came in and told these guys, and we'll play some audio from it in a minute, including some explaining his health right now. But
did he let his guard down a little bit? Did he
chum it up with him? 100%.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Engaging and likable.
It's athletes talking to athletes.
If this Jason Tatum, and I would urge any Celtics fan, especially Celtics fans like me, who
feel like hate they, on Jason Tatum.
If you want to say hate, you got it. I was going to choose to package it a little
just
differently.
Hard on him or critical.
Or just don't have just the connection they feel like they should right, have for right, the superstar right, that right, he right. is.
I've thought similarly okay. to you for a long time.
So listen to this podcast, and he needs to get this out there. He needs to project this like freaking SGA's logo on the side of the garden. It needs to be on speakers, rent vans, have him drive down the street because he's engaging, genuine, likable, just tremendously well done. But the first and foremost, the first clip that I want to share with you is him talking about his ankle because it's fresh off the injury. He joined these guys via Zoom. And I think this right here, what you hear, will kind of ease your concerns.
And we saw the ankle injury up there in Sacramento, man. Hopefully everything's good. How's everything feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. It's a few benefits to being 27. You know, you recover a little bit faster.
So, let them know.
I'll be all right.
Man, what it was like.
Ooh, I can remember the day.
I sprained my calf jumping rope the other day. That's what I did.
That was Jason Kelce, very self-deprecating throughout this. Mm-hmm. At one point, he talks about he got some sort of a scan and found out he has 58 pounds of fat on his body that he wants to lose. 21% body fat or something. Bigger guy. He was an offensive lineman. He's still working through the post-career.
He's not as bad as some guys.
No. But Jason Tatum, he's 27 years old. He thinks he's going to be all right. He's recovering well. That's great. One of the funny aspects of this, they asked him about Joe Mazzulla. And he had a technical recently, and the way Tatum explains how that went down with Joe Mazzulla sounds like typical Mazzulla, the kind of whack job that he is, and gives you an insight onto their relationship as well.
Like playing for Joe.
Joe is crazy. He seems like quite the character. We actually talked about you. We played Portland the other day. I got a tech. The game was basically over. I ended up getting a tech with like 30 seconds left.
I'm always here for a good fourth quarter tech.
Joe, he comes up to me after the game. If you get like 16 or 17 techs, you get suspended for a game. So damn. Joe, like, yo, can you just get four more so you can get suspended? I'm like, Joe, I think I'm done. He like, I would much rather you just come punch me. I want to fight. He's like, when Travis Kelce ran into Andy Reid, do that to me. No.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
That's so funny. Shout out to Coach Reid for being the man.
You should have. You did run into an old man with like a fake hip. So I'm not sure we need to go that far. And Joe Mazzulla's younger, so he can. Hey, notice he always chooses violence, Joe Mazzulla.
I think just good natured violence.
Yeah, no, I know, but
nothing too serious.
Good natured. Yeah, come punch
that
me.
Was great.
Good old natured violence.
You know? Well, he had that theory last year where he believes there should be more fighting, not only in the NBA but the whole world, and everybody gets a token. Or four tokens a year that you can challenge.
An kind of thing there.
Yeah.
He's a sociopath, but he's our sociopath.
No, we've all run into people.
Wakanda? My God.
And we've all run into those people that you're like, you kind of need to get smacked.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I think he does, though? I think he keeps it fresh for those guys. Like, they don't know what's going to happen next with him. And so I think that's part of, you hear Scal talk about, you know, coaches need to change up their tone, their tenor, how they talk to guys. They need to kind of, you know, maybe be unpredictable, I think, to sometimes be a successful coach in the NBA because there's so many damn games.
And I'm sure, you know, the average player, the average star player and the average coach gets a technical, is right waiting to walk over and hear, you know, what the hell are you doing? Why? What are you doing? The game's almost, instead you get, why don't you just punch me? Just, let's just fight.
Just don't stop at this technical.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep going. Like, so he definitely has an ability to push buttons and whatever. We've talked about this, going back to the inflection point game against the Heat, but he clearly has a relationship with Jason Tatum, and that's the most important relationship an NBA head coach can have. Yeah. You keep your star happy, and you keep your owner happy. You're keeping your job. That's job security.
That's how he got from the back bench to the front bench, because Tatum was his biggest supporter when Ime got the boot.
And then, Ted, do you know, there's a nickname that makes the rounds for Jason Tatum, not JT. It's another one that I don't love, doesn't sound like he loves, and then he shares what his nickname is.
Wikipedia's got you nicknamed the Anomaly. Has anybody that is close to you ever actually called you the Anomaly?
Man, Twitter is not a real place, I'll say.
They really, in wrestling.
They yuck it up there, man.
They give you the sell.
Everything is the funniest thing they've ever heard.
You tell a joke, they're going to sell it for you. They're going to help you out, get over with the crowd, like that laugh track. But that's who they are as well.
Yeah, they're pretty much who they are all the time.
Yeah, and so I would urge anybody, if you're a Celtics fan, Listen to that podcast. You can fast forward through. They go through like Cleveland and the new stadium and then blah, blah, blah. Get to the Tatum part and listen to whatever it is, 45 minutes of Jason Tatum. And I think if you're a fan of his, you'll like him even more. And if you're a hater like me, as Stiz would call me, you'll like him more than you liked him previously. I'm not saying you're going to fall in love with him overnight, but I think a side of his personality makeup got shared.
I'm liking him more and more this year than I ever have.
Me too.
I think it's just the way he's handled being a champion. I feel like he's still locked in. I don't feel him ever taking the foot off. And I kind of am like, you know what? He might not be the killer I want him to be, but he's not a jackass. And he doesn't, you know, he wants to play. And he's out there as much as he can. And so, you know, his leadership style isn't maybe what I wanted it to be. But I'm starting to come around on, that's okay. He can be the way he is. It's still effective. And, you know, as long as the team responds to him. In his leadership style. That's all that matters.
Absolutely. And really, all that matters is win. Put up another banner and you're going to be an all-time great, one of the greatest Celtics of all time, and you're collecting banners and rings the way you're supposed to when you're a green teamer. 617-779-7937. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to get back to Dan Ball's work. He put in a lot of work to come up with some projections for the Boston Red Sox this season that we were going to use, and then Alex Cora joined us, and we kind of got off script there. Garrett Crochet, Tristan Casas, all the Red Sox. What are they going to do this year? Dan Ball will look in his magic ball and tell you. Up next on WEEI Afternoons.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart here. Ted Johnson.
Hey.
Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Hey-o. I love all the, just the, quickly, the hype. The Patriots get a lot of hype, man. I'm watching TV right now. All the NFL shows, all the mid-morning shows, Stephon Diggs, Patriots. The Patriots, even though they've won 8 games in the last 2 years, they still are topical.
The logo still carries more weight than the recent on-field performances.
Without question.
Truth.
It's kind of cool to see, man.
I would also
still
say,
a national
though,
name, right?
Diggs is still a national name, too. That is still a... He's a former all-pro receiver last year had something left before he got hurt. So, like, this second wave or third wave, whatever wave of free agency we're on, he's a big name to be coming this time. And the deal is kind of a big deal. So I think you combine those two things and you get
a lot of coverage.
A little bit of an... Yeah. And it's the NFL. They're always looking to promote whatever they can.
No doubt.
Dan Ball.
Yes, sir.
We started this earlier.
We did.
I asked you to put together some projections.
Yes.
Before Alex Cora so nicely interrupted us.
He was like, oh, God, we're going down this rabbit hole. I'm going to interrupt this.
I got to stop this train wreck before they really ruin my year.
Yeah.
So remind us, we started with Garrett Crochet.
Yeah. I'd like to give a quick shout out, though. Somebody on the text line after we did this pointed me in the direction of better projections that I think more accurately reflect what we can expect. So shout out to our 978 texter who sent me in the direction of, what's this called? Streamer? One of the two.
Steamer?
Steamer.
Oh, no.
The
don't
old
go to
Cleveland Steamer.
I'm just making sure I get it right. It is Steamer, actually. So we're going to ignore the name, and we're just going to, and I'm just going to send it back to you, Andy.
Look how shaken he is. He's a little shook over there over Steamer and Streamer. Okay.
I am. But give me a player that you're hot on in 2025.
I want to revisit Garrett Crochet. Okay. He is my guy.
All right. Well, the updated numbers from Steamer are 13-8 in 31 games, 170 innings, an ERA of 3.03 this season.
Okay. And how many strikeouts? It's not a listed. Don't ask it. If he didn't say it, it's not listed.
So wins were a little bit more than that, but all right.
Yeah, but wins is a team effort here.
No.
I have my concerns that that's accurate because I have concerns about the bullpen and the closer situation. And he could give you six solid innings and he leaves, you know, up 3-2 or up 3-1. And all of a sudden, as Dan says, it's a 4-3 loss.
Your number, by the way, is 220.
220?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's exciting. 220 strikeouts in 170 innings, you said?
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. A shade over 3 ERA. I'll take it. I don't know that it's the crazy season some of us are storybook envisioning here.
You.
That's it. Me. Absolutely. That would be me. Yeah, I brought up the name Pedro. I want the buzz of that type of a guy where I'm locked in every fifth day. But yeah, no, that's acceptable. Okay, who's next? Let's go to, how about the Saint?
Yeah, let's go Bregman.
St. Bregman.
All right, St. Bregman. In 143 games, Alex Bregman is projected to hit .268 with 23 home runs, 83 runs batted in.
All right.
And he will have 31 doubles this season.
Oh, yeah. Gonna love that.
Okay, I like that. Love I would like the monster. Home runs a tick higher.
Question is that good enough?
Is it good enough for $40 million, or is it good enough for the Boston Red Sox to be a good baseball team?
It's not good enough for 40.
No, but
it's good enough for the Red Sox.
That check has already been written.
Yeah,
it's not your money. Whatever cliche you want to use, that's water under the bridge.
How many double plays does he turn to say?
Oh yeah, like
106.
Give me some of those nerdy defensive stats. Runs.
His glove is going to be the most
run prevention.
Yeah, run prevention stats. Okay, how about my guy, our guy? We've joked a lot about it. We got Alex Cora to even giggle a little bit about it. Tristan Casas, Mr. 40-120. Does it say 40-120?
I mean, these projections are almost to the number, not even close to that. It's 247 is what it says.
I don't know that.
In 115 games.
Uh-oh.
22 home runs and 64 runs batted, or pardon me, 69 runs batted in. Nice.
Okay. Not nice.
Nice, but not good enough.
The manager won't be happy, and we're going
to
revisit our interview with Alex
Cora. Because he did give you the number of games.
He doesn't care about all these numbers. He wants the number of games played. What'd you say?
115.
Oh, that's not good.
And Alex, I believe, said 150.
That's 35 shy of what the skipper, don't call him skipper,
is looking
for. Alex is
just saying, hey, if the kid stays healthy, the numbers will come.
Yeah, and they will. I mean, those numbers, if you prorated them over another 35 games, would be better. Does this little steamer service sounds dirty?
Yeah.
Does this include
the carpet's dirty?
Yeah, Stanley Steamer, one of the nicknames in the bracket that we'll get to in odds and ends. But does it have closers? Does it have Aroldis Chapman? Does it have blown saves? More importantly, blown saves.
Blown saves.
How close is that number?
Oh, boy. Let's see. It does not. It does have the column, but it doesn't list the number. So I will tell you that Aroldis Chapman is projected for a 3.12 ERA and 19 saves, while Liam Hendricks is sitting at a 3.69 ERA and 13 saves. You also have three saves for Justin Slayton and two for Garrett Whitlock.
I was going to tell you, that concerns me, even though they don't have the blown saves. So Aroldis Chapman is starting the year as the closer. Unless
he's been the best so far in camp.
Unless he gets hurt, it's a bad sign that they're projecting Hendricks to have 13 saves, right? Because that means at some point you got a little squirrely and started.
How about a little back-to-backer?
I don't know if
I
love that.
The news was that he was named the closer, but they also started to lay the groundwork of, well, he's going to get some eighth-inning work as well.
Yeah.
So they may try the best matchup available kind of strategy,
yep.
which I hate. I think you need one closer and one alone, but it seems like they're possibly going with that moving forward.
And the manager has backed off. He, for much of the spring, was sort of touting the idea, I want one guy, I want a closer. Yeah. And then when he realized he doesn't have one guy, he kind of softened the message a little bit.
Yeah, closer by committee. Come on.
Yeah, that always
works.
It's
the best way.
That always works very well.
I got a question. What about about our new DH?
Rafi Devers.
Rafi Devers.
Now that
let's see what Big Boy's projected.
41, 127, batting .297.
Oof. We are at in 135 games. So, again, this is also taking some stuff from last year. So, I think this is also based on the sample size that we had. He was hurt for part of the year, whatever.
Are we sure this is a good website we're using?
Qualifying everything here.
Right.
It's okay, Dan. Keep going.
This is bad. It's best I can best.
You
I can
hadn't idea. Heard of it a half hour ago.
You're doing great, bud.
That's correct. That's okay. correct. I had not. All right. 135 games, .270 average, 29 home runs, 87 runs batted in.
That is a very disappointing season.
No.
Well said.
No.
Well said, Ted.
No. No.
Mexican Ted. That is well said because, if he's the full-time DH and he doesn't have the shoulder issue and
all he's got to do is hit that ball, baby.
He only has one more home run than last year when he had an abysmal year at the end. He fell off the map because of the shoulder injuries. He had 28 home runs and then never hit another home run. It seemed like forever. He's got to be at 35. If he doesn't hit 35 home runs, assuming he doesn't break a leg or something, but if he's out there for most of the season, he's got to hit 35 home runs this year. And we had a texter request, the last one, the last projection. Trevor Story.
Oh.
Ooh, all right. I like that one. Trevor Story.
Four games played.
he's listed at 105 games this season.
That's a dream come true.
Man. Sounds like they have a lot of injuries.
Man, I guess, comparatively speaking, yeah.
And your boy David Hamilton's going to get a look, and my guy Meyer's going to come up and crush.
No, we need Trevor Story healthy.
You
just got no'd, Fitzy. No.
225 average, 12 home runs, 49 runs batted in. Not great.
That means
Marcelo Meyer's up if he's playing like that.
Dan, keep looking for better projections. These do not fall in line with the buzzworthy World Series champion Boston Red Sox.
I think the steamer might be a one and done.
It lost a little steam as that segment went on. Ba-dum-bum. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, the 5 o'clock hour, the fourth and final hour, we are going to talk about Stephon Diggs, his impact on the Patriots. Are you excited? Ted Johnson hasn't really gotten to weigh in totally, and he hasn't heard the results of our poll. Patriot Nation pretty much likes the signing. They are borderline unanimous. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.